Blog Talk Radio.
Diamonds on fleek, bitch ain't talking about heat. Put it on, screw, spread out, screw, spread out, screw. Spread out, screw to a penthouse. Spread out, screw to a penthouse, Miami Beach.
Yeah, yo.
Niggas talk crazy on tweets. They don't want it cause I come to defeat.
They don't want it.
I peek, these niggas all sweet. Bamboo sticks all in the Jeep. It's a new weirdo every week.
Weirdo.
Get the what, put it up for my seeds.
Put it up.
No cure for the IG disease.
No cure. Anything for club.
They do anything for club.
Do anything for club.
They do anything for club.
Good morning, good morning. I do anything for clout. Well, some of us will do anything for clout. that is one of my favorite songs. Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Happy Monday. And you guys know how much I love Mondays. I know for some of you, you dread Mondays, you avoid Mondays, and you wish Mondays never exist. But Mondays happen to be, as I always tell you guys, one of my favorite days of the week for numerous of reasons. And the first reason I feel like Monday is one of my favorite days is because it gives me an opportunity to start all over, right? Start the week all over. So I kind of start my week on Sundays, and then I look forward to where I'm going to start the week off on Monday. So pretty much Sunday's the prep day, prep my goals for the week. Every week we should be prepping goals. We should have something that we are looking forward to for the week, and we should also be accomplishing goals every week. So, guys, that's my Monday motivation for you this morning. Write your goals down so you can have a vision of what your week is going to look like, right? It keeps you from being all over the place, and it also holds you accountable to being able to accomplish your goals. Don't focus so much on not meeting the goal, but focus more on what you're going to do, which is going to require work for you to accomplish the goal. So I just want to put that out there for you this Monday morning. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about how to get past bad business experiences and how to choose the right networking event. And I'm super excited. In the studio today joining me is Mrs. Z Davis. Good morning, Z. How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. Thank you again for co-hosting the show with me this morning. I truly appreciate it. It looks like we have a strong listening base this morning. So I guess a lot of you guys out there want to hear how to get past bad business experiences and how to choose the right networking events, which are two essential, important pieces as you are growing and nurturing a business. So, Z, I'm going to hop right in. And what I would like to talk about first is how to choose the right networking events. I think that's a really hot topic because we have a lot of folks that go to networking events, probably including you and myself, and we may come back from an event and feel like, okay, I got absolutely nothing. Or you go to an event and you get all these business cards and you exchange information and so on and so forth. And you folks, what do they do? We're going to do lunch. We got to link back up. We're going to do dinner and so on and so forth. And you never see these people again, right? Or you paid a lot of money for an event, right? And you get there for the event and you realize that everything that, because a lot of times for me, Z, when I go to a networking event, I'm looking to get something. I mean, I love to meet women. I love to meet new folks. But I need something that I can add value to the blueprint of what I'm already building.
Right.
I think it's really important. Do you know what I mean? So I want to ask you,
absolutely.
Like, what do you look forward to? Like, when you go to a networking event, how do you choose whether or not you're going to attend an event?
I think the first thing is to I make sure that I am clear on what I can offer. I also make sure I'm clear on my goals. So I'm a makeup artist full time, and right now my focus in my artistry, I am building my online makeup coaching service to everyday women of color who want to master their makeup. So in my mind, I need to connect with women of color who want to learn how to do their makeup within my target market. So I understand, number one, what I offer. And two, when I look at networking events, I want to know who else is in the room. I want to know that this event, one, is paid because I offer a paid service. So if I go to a free event, now I'm surrounding myself with people who like free stuff versus going to a paid event. Now I'm surrounding myself with women who value an opportunity, they value their time, and they're also looking to be valued and they don't mind paying for it. So it's very important to, one, do my research thoroughly so I can make sure that like-minded women are in the room, and then, two, understand what I have to offer as well and what I'm looking for in order to create a win-win relationship.
You know, it's something that you said that makes sense. You're exactly right. When you say that people pay for an event, Z, a lot of times it does. It adds value, and then post, and don't get me, hey guys, listeners, this is like a nut. You guys know we do a no judgment zone over here, but when you get sometimes when people get a free event, I gotta throw that disclaimer out there because this is a no judgment zone, but we're trying to really help other women out because there are a lot of folks, and not just women, but particularly more women, that I hear so many bad negative reviews about networking events, and I don't want you guys to just completely not ever want to attend another networking event because of poor, you know, maybe a poor choice you think you made or bad experiences. You might have been promised something, because a lot of networking events now, they over-promise, they under-deliver, and we'll touch on that shortly, Z, as well. So a lot of times, you know, do your research, you know. I think it's important, Z, when you're looking at a networking event, to do your research, right? So if you are – you basically just told us who your target audience is, right? So if Z is giving a networking event, right, and it's around, you know, teaching women how to be beautiful by teaching them how to professionally apply their beat their faces, you know, if you're not in that line of work or if that's not something you're looking for doing, then you may not want to attend the event, right, because you kind of know what the event is about it from the headline. So that's one way you can keep from wasting your time, Z. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I definitely agree.
But when you are doing your events, Z, like, okay, so when you schedule an event, let's talk about this. So if you schedule your event, right, is your event open to everybody? Are you screening? Is there particular folks you prefer to show up? How do you wean out who should be at that particular event?
So I actually, this is for the last 4 years, I've hosted a large women's empowerment event that attracted more than 150 women. And that event is called Rock Your Crown. And Rock Your Crown was an event targeted towards women so that they can dream like never before. So I think that when I market, my intention is to be very clear on what type of woman I'm looking for. I'm looking for a woman who's positive. I'm looking for women who desire to go beyond where they are right now. So the dreamers, the go-getters. And when I put that language out there, it attracts who I really intentionally want to come, as well as the price point. When you put a price point out, that absolutely weeds people out. So I think price and language is very important when it comes to tailoring your events to who you want, as well as location. There are a lot of things, a lot of times you can have not no shade, no judgment, but you can have your event at a place that people know is in the hood, and you're going to attract a certain type of audience. Or you can book your place and your event in a place where people understand it's a safe neighborhood. They feel like they've elevated by going to your event. Now you're attracting a different mindset towards your specific event. So a lot of things play a role in it, but definitely your marketing literature as well as your price point.
I totally agree with that price point. And also, you know what's funny, because, you know, when you get to that price point situation, you get those people. Now, this is me personally, because I give – I do events pretty regularly, And so when I get those folks that say, oh, I can't afford it, or, oh, I don't want to go, I think her event costs too much. Hey, guys, I want to put this out there. No one's event costs too much. People, to me, price their events on their value or what they think their value of the event should be, okay, or what the value of the event is going to be. So I don't know if I would say it costs too much, right? I may go look and see what they have to offer. So looking at a price point,
yeah,
let me see what this event is offering. You know what I mean, Z?
Right, absolutely. I think that language definitely needs to be improved, especially in our community. A lot of times I see people post, hey, I'm looking for an affordable XYZ. And you need to post what your definition of affordable is. And if there is a cost that you are not willing to pay, just say you're not willing to pay it, because one day, you know, one day you're going to get to a point where you're going to charge, and somebody is going to think that your price is out of their budget. But it's your value. It's your, you know, how you view yourself in your price points. So I think that's most definitely something that just needs to be adjusted, that language is
I say.
Cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, that language just needs to be adjusted. If there's something that I can't afford, it's just out of my budget, and I can't get mad at you. I just have to do better on my end to get to a point where $85 doesn't feel like $1,000. I need to get my money up so that, you know, it feels like 80 cents. You know what I mean? So it's all perspective.
You know what? I kind of like your spin on that. Now, guys, listen, so did you guys get that? So basically what Z is saying and what Z has said makes perfectly great sense, because what she's saying is, opposed to you saying something costs too much and you won't be able to afford it, or you can't afford it, or you downgrade it, or you say, well, why are they charging so much? Because, I mean, I hear that all the time. Instead, you set a goal for yourself. You know, next year, I'm going to make that event. And if that's a one-time event, then next year you're going to make an event that's similar to that. Or next year, I'm going to be able to afford an event that costs me $500. So you have to set realistic goals for yourself if that's an event that you truly want to attend or be a part of. But don't downplay cost, because I get that a lot, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you, V, now when folks like, oh, why does it cost so much? Oh, well, what do you get for that price? You know, I don't entertain a lot of things now. When I first started my events, I think I tried to cater more to, and I'm guilty, you know, when I first started some years ago, I was catering more to, okay, well, I want a packed out event. So with that being said, let me make sure I can, you know what I mean?
Flash,
I try to make my event affordable
for two
people.
Let me lower my price. Oh, I understand. I definitely understand. Because you want, in your mind as an achiever, you want to sell out your event. Like, you want to be able to say, hey, this sold out, and you want a packed place. So, absolutely, I understand that.
But then I had to get to a point where, okay, because I pay, I have people pay what I weigh. Because in essence, if you attend an event of mine and I tell you you're going to get these bullets, this is exactly what you're going to get. And normally I give bonuses. So you'll get some extra things that I might not even actually advertise or promote, but I will offer it. But if I tell you this is what you're going to get at my event, that is exactly what you're going to get. So we're going to flip it a little bit, Z, and talk about, we all have, I know I have. I was just at one recently. Of course, I won't say what event it was, because, I mean, I'm not here to call anybody out. But I went to an event not too long ago, and I was like, okay, the cost was, you know, hey, if I want to attend something, I'm showing up. This is what it is, what it is. But I got there, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to continuously go to an event. And this is Teresa, guys. Hey, everybody, this is everybody. I have my own opinion and my own views. And I'm sure I'll get like 25, 30 emails later, but it's fine. I don't no longer want to go to an event. Oh, yeah, I get blasted, believe it or not. Every time I do something on the air people disagree with, I get blasted. It's funny because I give folks the opportunity to call in and express themselves on a lot of my shows. But what I was saying, Z, I no longer want to go to an event and hear someone's success story, right? Now, wait a minute, guys. Mm-hmm. I love a good success story. I love the fact that, you know, you came from poverty to purpose. I love the fact that you came from survival to success. I love all these stories, right? But how did you get there, right? We know you got there. You're motivating the masses and you're impacting lives. But what exactly are you doing to do that? So when you go to these events, give up something. Okay, I don't want to pay $500, $600 to come to your event for you to have to pay another $500, $600 to take your class. So do you get what I mean? Give something. So if you're going to have panelists, if you're going to have speakers, you need to have them give up something. I mean, who did design your website? Who is your graphic designer? Who do you use for your online automation system? Who do you use for your CRM? Like, give up some information. We want the deets. We don't want to just come in here. Your success story is powerful. We love it. But what can I do? How do I change my five figures into seven? How do I build a multiple streams of income? Like, and I'm talking about where now. I don't expect to come to the event. You guys about to give me a one-on-one. But give up some information of how I can do it. I think sometimes we're so. I believe sometimes we'll give you just enough. Because I don't want you to take what I give you and supersede where I am with that business. And I think a lot of times our focus is in the wrong place. So, Z, talk to me a little bit about your experiences, like far as you attended an event and you just, you know, you get home and you're like, okay, I got absolutely nothing, but and my thing is, I met some great people. I always say that. Where did it go? Like an experience where you went to an event and you really got home and was like, okay, that was a kind of a waste of money and I didn't learn anything. Or sometimes we go to events and they benefit us, right? So if you pay and you didn't get anything, it might benefit you. We do it all the time. You get to post great pictures and things like that. But talk about your experience about events that you went to where you got, like, nothing, no value, you didn't come home and was able to move forward in something that you're doing or anything of that nature.
So I'll preface mine with my expectation of excellence is very high. I am very, very, I'm such a hard person to impress because I do host events and then I've just grown up in a spirit of excellence. So I'm very detailed when it comes to events and very critical as well when it comes to events that I attend. So I personally have to dumb down my my perspective sometimes just to kind of give balance and also to give grace as well. So let me just preface that, you know, first. But I think that the first thing I do is just evaluate what attracted me to the event, and then secondly, what role did I play in choosing that specific event? Because it's not their fault. It could be something on my end that was attracting me to that event. And that way I take note the next time, all right, this looked like the last thing that I went to, so let me adjust and do my research on if this is something that will work out for me. And then I have to go in with a goal. So a while ago, I didn't go in with a goal. I didn't go in with, you know, a specific intention. And having that intention gives me focus on, is this an event for me or is it not? Recently, we actually had a beautiful event with two well-known influencers that came to Memphis. And I looked at that event and I knew immediately that even though this was going to be a popular event, even though by social media standards I would be the type of person in attendance, I knew that that was not an event that I wanted to go to. And I'm going to refer back to what you said. Success stories are beautiful. However, they're beautiful in phases. There's the beginning phase. When you first start out in business, you need those success stories. You need to hear that motivation. Mm-hmm. You need to hear that empowerment. You need to hear that there is somebody that is where they've been where you are right now. Then you start to grow to the next level. Now I need to figure out how to market. I need to figure out how to double my money. I need to figure out how to automate my business. Those things come next. And so now you've gotten your motivation. You move on to the next level. Then there's a level after that. I'm making money in my business. How do I scale? How do I make more? How do I work less? How do I work smarter, not harder? And at those, when you're at those phases in business, those success stories are cute. as far as they go. And I think that it just happens in phases. So I'm not going to say that they are not necessary or not needed, but when I look at an event, I know right off the bat, just give me the coaching program. Just tell me how much your coaching program is at this point, because that's what I'm interested in. I think it's also very necessary, too, to understand the game. When you get into a phase of when you start coaching, when you start building programs in your specific entrepreneurial realm, there is a phase of free content versus paid content, and that is just the name of the game. However, you should be giving valuable free content that makes somebody want to purchase your paid program. I just recently did a free three-part video series called Icademics, and what I did was an online video lesson about your brows, lashes, and eyeshadow, and it was absolutely free, and these ladies learned a ton. I was almost afraid that I was giving away too much information, but what that turned into was enrollment into my online makeup school. Now I have taken some of those women and turned them over into students inside of my makeup school because of the information that I gave, because they felt like they could learn so much more from me. So I think that's important. Give valuable content and then understand your role in how you chose the event. What was it about that event that said I wanted to come, and what pieces were missing that you missed, you know? So yeah, it's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah, it is. And you know what, Z, you touched on something too, that before we go to the next topic, I want to touch on that piece when you said that it's give free event, give free, if you want to give, you know, complimentary information as far as your event is concerned or your coaching program or whatever it is, make sure it's valuable, right? Because I don't want to waste my time getting, for example, I do I own a staffing and HR consulting company, and I also teach an online webinar. It's a free webinar that I teach how to start your staffing company, and it's for an hour. And I give it probably about once a month. And I give so much valuable information on this webinar, Z, that really if you're already, you've already did some research about the business, the staffing, and the consulting, the human resources consulting, you can almost go and start the business, at least get the pieces of the puzzle moving once you leave my free webinar. And then it drives folks to want to pay for my paid program. And that's the whole key. You want to sell enough on your free webinars or your free trainings where people want to pay you for your information. I mean, I don't want to – and hey, I'll hop on a webinar in a minute now. You know, if it's something pertaining to something that I'm trying to do, I'll hop on in a second now and see what you're talking about. But if I get on there and I just didn't feel like it was a valuable free webinar, I don't want to. I don't know if I want to pay you $9.97 or $14.97 for the informational webinar. Do you get what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because I just wasn't impressed with your. I just wasn't impressed with the free. So Z and I are gonna give you guys a few tips before we go to a commercial break. We'll give you guys a few tips as far as the topic is concerned on networking events. I'll go ahead and give you mine first. And for me, I would say that when you are ready to attend a networking event, first and foremost, do your research on as far as who's giving the event, who's headlining the event, any participants, speakers, panelists. And nowadays, you can research if somebody is of somebody. You can research and Google folks and all types of stuff these days. So do some research before you go and spend your money. If you are one of those folks that like to show up at an event because of who's going to be there, then you will continuously waste your time and your money. You want to attend the events to get value So you can walk away with something outside of a success story of how somebody else is living in the cars that they're driving and their money, right? You want to get value because you learning their story and you're not scaling up, it's not going to help you. And then the third piece of advice I will give is don't always focus so much on cost. Focus on what can you take away from that event. And if you guys exchange information with folks at an event, or you exchange numbers, or however you guys do it now at these networking events, utilize it, right? You may not ever talk to these folks again. There may be some people there, really. If you tell someone, hey, we may have to connect on ABC, follow up. It's okay to follow up. Hey, perfect example, I met Z at a networking event in Tokyo. So, and I just admired a lot of the things that she was doing in the community, including when I first met her. There was something admirable about Z when I met her, and we kind of, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time together, but we actually had a lot of conversation. I know that doesn't make sense, but we didn't spend a lot of time together, but we did have a lot of conversation. And so I admire powerful women and that value other women. So I'm just giving you guys an example that, you know, far as networking, I followed up with her, and hey, you know, we do co-host throughout the month of December, January, and February, and I like to utilize women, again, that have something to give. So those are my three pieces I want you to walk away with as far as how to choose the right networking event so you can stop wasting your time. Z, what do you have for our listeners this morning on how to choose the right networking events?
So one of my secret filters, I would say, is to look at an event's marketing. Look at their marketing efforts. If they are really going out of the way to market to you, their flyers are beautiful, their videos are beautiful, you can see off the bat what kind of effort they're putting into their event. And that effort is going to trickle throughout. And I think that that is a good indication of the quality of the event as well. So I definitely pay attention to marketing because that's something that's very important to me. Presentation is if they have a janky flyer or just very minimal information, those present red flags to me. So my first tip is to pay attention to the marketing. My second tip is to understand what you offer, because even if you do show up and it's not what you expect, understand your offer and your value in addition to how to make it a win-win situation. So what can you offer them and how can they support you as well? Yes, when we went to Tokyo, it was a very intimate event, and I went specifically, one, to support a friend of mine, but two, I knew that I had something to offer, which was my music album. I do motivation music, so I was able to offer that and create a win-win situation because I was in front of entrepreneurs who need some encouragement and motivation.
Totally.
So that was something that was a win-win situation. So understand what you offer and how it can be a win-win. And then lastly, be ready. No matter what you walk into, have your business cards. And I will give you a next level tip. Have an opt-in page already loaded on your phone or bring an iPad. And you can be a walking vendor without paying a vendor fee. Just already have it uploaded. There's a website called, see, here I am giving tips. There's a website called JotForm, and JotForm is free. Mm-hmm. JotForm is a free program that you can download, and you can upload emails. You can set it up and make it really cute. MailChimp also has an app that you can add to your iPad as well, where you can set it up and make it look like a walking online kiosk, and you can walk around with that kiosk in your hand and say, introduce yourself, give them information. Would you like to sign up so I can give you more information? That way, you don't have to keep up with 1,000 business cards. You can already be proactive in doing that. So just be ready to be a walking vendor. I always have flyers in my purse. I also have an app that allows me to have an online business card. So all I have to do is email them my information instead of handing them a business card. That app is called Haystack, so you can use that too. So, yeah, pay attention to marketing. Understand what you offer so that it's a win-win. And then finally, just be ready to be a walking vendor.
Wow. Now, guys, those were some great points that he just gave. I want to kind of piggyback on something before. Well, actually, we got to go to commercial break. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.
We've been on a tragedy for once. Why can't you agree with me for once? Maybe we can be on chill tonight. Maybe I can give you chills. We've been on a tragedy for once. Why can't you agree with me for once? Yeah.
Many other brothers love you, but this pleasure is mine. It's no pressure for us to say that I love you from now. So fuck that comfort shit, I just wanna be comfortable now. For real, who you loving, who you wanna pull up with? Who don't care who you dating, long as you care and you trust me. I'm trying to hear all your problems so I can lighten the load. No, you not fighting alone, cause I'm protecting.
And we are back from our commercial break, guys. And thank you, guys. And for those of you that are just tuning in, thank you again for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. Joining with me in the studio today is Z Davis, straight out of Memphis. So Z is actually co-hosting the show with me today, and we are discussing how to move past bad business experiences, as well as we were just wrapping up how to choose the right networking events. And right before we went to commercial break, I did want to just piggyback on something that Z had mentioned far as networking events and being ready so you don't have to get ready. And also far as when you're at a networking event, because, you know, a lot of times the business card thing has somewhat played out because what do we do with them, guys? You get home. I've been to probably more networking events in the last 15 years than I can probably count, and I don't know what half of the business cards are. And then sometimes I'll get and say, dang, I met this lady at this one of those events. I can't remember who she is. So I love the idea of the job form, and I actually use job form. So that's definitely a really great, I think, job form is a good platform you can use. It's really quick. It's instant. You can actually create it and cater it to whatever you need it to do. So that was just the great nugget there, Z, for that piece. And then when you walk in a room and, you know, you're exchanging information, you automatically have someone's email address, and then you're also building, you're continuously building your email database. So good stuff there, Z. We are moving on to the next topic, and we're going to talk a little bit about how to move past bad business experiences. And whether you are the business owner or whether or not you were the customer or the client, this is on both sides, how to move past a bad business experience. I want to touch on this because I get a lot of conversation with folks, including myself, that have had bad business experience, and we just stay stuck in it. We just sit right there, and we discuss it, and we talk about it to our friends, and we call colleagues, and we go on and on and on, and we just stay stuck in this bad business experience. So let me give you an example, and then we'll have Z join in with us as well and talk a little bit about maybe a bad experience that she's had. So, example, I'm on Instagram, of course, a lot, as most of us are, and I've utilized several graphic design folks. Of course, we won't call their names for obvious reasons. And I've used probably at least four. So when I say several, at least four. All four times, two or three of them had really great work, but they had the poorest customer service. I am an advocate for customer service. You can win me over with strong customer service opposed to almost as good as your work is. I'm a big advocate on follow-up. I'm a big advocate on you delivering when you say you're going to deliver. If something changes, you need to reach out to me. And I run my businesses accordingly to what I expect from other business owners, consumers, and so forth. So four folks from Instagram I've used for graphic design. And customer service, either poor customer service or poor quality of work. And so I remember after the second experience, I got on the phone and I said, you know, I'm talking to one of my friends, and I'm like, you know, I'm just over Instagram. Because all those people on there just be lying. Everybody just fabricate this, and you're looking at somebody's page, and they got all this great, strong graphic design, and then, boom, I want you to design something for me, and I get crap. So and at first I blame myself, and then I'm like, hey, it's not my fault. I chose these individuals based off what I saw. And I did research, you know, look at your page. If I see other things that you've done for other folks, to me, okay, this might be a good fit. This person may be a good fit for me and my business and what I'm looking for. And then you don't deliver. And so opposed to me staying stuck in it, now this fifth time, all right, let me see if I can get some referrals at this point. Maybe somebody has a referral of some work that somebody else has done for them. So I'm giving you guys some example how to get out of a bad business experience, because I was stuck for a minute. I mean, I was so stuck that I didn't even want to believe anybody else on Instagram knew how to do any graphics. And I'm really particular about what I'm looking for when I'm doing graphic design, because it's really important. And I'll pay. I don't care what your price is. If I love the quality of your work, I will pay for it. But you have to be mindful of your customer service, guys. If you are offering a service of any sort, your customer service is essential to your business. It can make you or it can break you. So that was just an example for me of a bad business experience that I stayed stuck in, because it probably took me at least 3 months. I wasted time before I would go and trust another graphic design artist, because I didn't get what I wanted the first 4 times. Now I'm just over it. So I'm going to go in Canva, right, after my bad experiences, and I'm going to try to design my own graphics. Okay, epic fail. Let me just be the first to tell you. Let me be the first to tell you, I am not a graphic design artist. Can I do some basic stuff? I can. I guess if I really something I really wanted to learn, I may could, but I'm going to be honest, I never had an interest in it. So I said, okay, I'm going to pay the folks that have expertise in it, the people that love to do it. I don't love to do it. I just want to pay for it, utilize it for what I need, and move it forward. And so I go in Canva, and I'm going to design my own. Mind you, we're in 3 months now, and I still need graphic designs. And I'm so stuck in that bad experiences from Instagram, now I'm going to try to design myself. So I wasted another 30 days. So the moral of the story, when I went to that second or third graphic designer and I realized I didn't get deliverance, you got to keep pressing forward. I know how hard it is. It's now you, because now you don't trust folks. And it's unfortunate because everybody on Instagram is not a fraud. I'm just telling y'all, I was mad at y'all for a minute. And I was just like, I'm not fooling with nobody else on Instagram, because I was pissed. But lesson learned. I wasted 3 months, and so learned lesson from that is now if I get with someone that I need a service from and they don't deliver what they say or they have poor customer service, I move on to the next person. So Z, you want to talk to us about maybe a bad business experience that you've had, and did you stay stuck in it, or how did you move past it?
So I hired a trademark attorney, and I did not – I just felt really withdrawn from the process. I know that trademarking can be a – I do understand that it can be somewhat of a tedious kind of drawn-out process, but – during that, I was not informed throughout, and so it had been maybe 2 years or a year and a half, and I was just like, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And
it was 2 years and a half for your trademark?
It was like a year and a half.
The trademark processing?
Correct. I still hadn't received anything because in my mind,
oh wow,
this is my first time using a trademark service. So I'm like, okay, she said that it's going to, you know, be somewhat of a process. So let me just not be a pest and just let me, you know, let me go along with the process. And so after a while, I was just like, something is off. So let me reach out. And she had her explanations and excuses, but eventually she did refund me my money, and I never did get my trademark filed. So it made me more tedious in the process. And this was someone I found on Instagram who seemed like a reputable trademark attorney, and someone else had posted her and all those things. So at this point, it just made me very, very tedious about who I choose to do that process for me. I think that I learned a lot during that, and as well as other experiences with, you know, videographers and graphic designers. And I personally can do graphic design. So I'm the type of person who does everything and needs to delegate. So I've been trying to trust other people more with my ideas and creativity. And sometimes it just doesn't work out, but I do have to keep pushing because I want to scale and I want to be able to use my time for other things. But yeah, I think you just have to keep going. There's really there's some checkpoints that you can adjust, but I just have to keep going. So I was writing down a few things that I do now, and before I rant on social media, and that's something I cannot stand, especially, I just can't stand it because we are all small businesses. We are, and we understand, you should understand the overwhelm sometimes of operating a small business as well as maintaining your personal life. It doesn't give you an excuse to not come through on your promises. However, it should give you grace towards other small businesses, whether they're doing whether they're not delivering or not. I just don't feel like there's ever a way or room for permission to bash a small business online. Tell me what you prefer, or, tell me the things that you feel could be corrected and do it in a respectable way. But don't go online and say, don't ever shop here. Don't ever eat here. Don't ever, it's just, to me, it's just not the best way to handle conflict or resolve anything. Allow people to have their own experiences. Maybe their business was having a bad day, but even with that, I never blasted her. I won't say her name right now, because it's unnecessary. She may have been going through a phase in her life, and maybe I didn't need that specific thing to be trademarked at the time. Who knows why that was bad? But definitely have, my first thing is understanding to have a sounding board. I have, my entrepreneurial friends who I can call and go off. I can cuss, fuss, so that I won't be a Facebook gangster. And I won't, type a bad review, and go off. And that is also a repellent towards new customers to you. So when you go online and do that, they're like, oh, Jesus, they're on eggshells, pins and needles. Let me not mess up because she's going to get upset and she might go on social media and go off. And, that is a repellent towards new customers as it concerns you as well. So just I make sure I have a sounding board. That's very important to me. But, yeah, you just have to keep going and learn how to get your research process more specific to find someone who could do the job the way you want it done.
And let's touch on it too, though, Z. And then for those folks that's doing the job now, Z, let's just be a little candid. You guys need to stop, offering things that you're not good at. Because, see, this is what I have learned. We get really excited about those pretty graphics, right? And they look really good. And then, and some of us are running. And I know this because back in 2007 when I launched, when I opened up the doors to my staffing company, I did everything. I was the admin, the marketing person, the salesperson, the HR consultant. Epic fail. I got nowhere far.
Yeah.
And then, I would get these accounts that need 40 folks for a call center and so on and so forth, and I couldn't even fulfill the obligations in a timely manner because it was just me. So at some point, and I know a lot of, and the reason why I'm saying this is a lot of small businesses, they're running their one-man show. So they want to take on the business, right? But then they don't have the bandwidth to deliver in a timely manner, right? Depending on what your time frame is. So I think, in essence, to that, we need to also be real with the folks that's providing the service or the product, and be clear to them that what is the timeline look like for you to have this completed. And guys, it's also okay to ask someone, do you have any, you know, reviews, any testimonials? Do you have any other, like, any portfolio or other work I can see that you've done? It's okay to ask folks for that. You don't always have to just pay your money and wait. Because even with your situation, Z, think about the time you wasted, right?
Right.
Or whatever the reason may be, you know, you had patience. You sound a lot like me, because I'll just give somebody a task, pay my money, and honey, when you finish, just let me know. And then,
right.
You know.
Because I don't have time to babysit you.
Yeah. Because I just trusted the fact that you know what you're doing. So here's the coins. Do what you got to do. You got any questions, come and ask. But unfortunately, who wants to hire somebody that got to micromanage, right?
Right.
If I got to call you every day up until the day you tell me my service is going to be ready or whatever it is, I probably shouldn't have hired you. I don't have the capacity in my schedule to call every day or email every day and say, hey, just checking the status. Hey, just checking the status, right? So I want to talk about a little bit before we wrap the show up, those folks that are providing the service. Let's talk about them a little bit too, because we can't let them off the hook. Now,
right.
If you – we'll have to call a couple of them out too, because if you are providing a service of any sort – and you tell somebody, I will have your whatever the case may be ready on December 14th. Well, if December 14th come roll up in here, Z, and I don't hear from you, I didn't get an email before December 14th, I think, you know, as a business owner, no matter how small you are, you can follow up. Matter of fact, if you know on the 14th what you had promised that would be ready for me on the 14th, and you know it on the 13th, hey, send me a quick email. I'm really easy to deal with. Now, everybody may not be, and it depends on how pressing it is for me to get what it is that I need. But just send an email. Hey, I know that we had a, you know, scheduled date of deliverance for the 14th. Unfortunately, we had extended till blah, blah, blah. I'm so cool with people being proactive. Now, when I'm not cool, December 14th come, and I don't hear nothing from you. I don't get an email or anything, and then we roll on to a whole nother week, and now I got to call
right.
you. You got what I mean? So we're talking about customer service. That's how you keep getting new customers. Go ahead.
I want to touch on that.
Go ahead,
I think that a lot of times when we take our hobbies or our talent and we turn them into a business, we don't always have all of the elements that we need to efficiently run that, and so you end up learning as you go. What I will say, though, you have to be a fast learner. you got to get it together quickly. and I think the number one, the reason that people struggle with the communication is because they don't understand, one, their capacity, and two, their process. So I know, as a makeup artist, when I first started, I probably shouldn't have, but I would do a sign up 14 people in a wedding party, 10 people in a wedding party. That was ridiculous. I don't understand to this day why I would do something like that. And I did not understand. I just didn't understand that I had to limit my capacity due to the wear and tear on my body. You know, it was just physically ridiculous for me to sign up for something like that. Why would I do that? And so when graphic designers, whatever service provider, because you are a service provider, it's important to understand how much you can actually handle. Today, present day, I have limited my wedding parties to a maximum of five people. And I always let them know, hey, beyond five people, you may want to hire an additional makeup artist to handle everybody else. And I give them the benefits of doing so. And that way I can deliver, and I can deliver with a good attitude. I can deliver with the best energy, because I know around the sixth person, I'm hungry, I'm irritable, I'm tired. you know, you might get a little eyeshadow here or there, but I know that I can give my best around six people in maximum. When you start getting beyond that, that's when I, you know, start going left. So capacity is very important. And the second thing is understanding your process. You know, as a service provider, how you best to work, or maybe you're still figuring that out. Mm-hmm. But having a process mm-hmm. in place that allows you to check in, that allows you to incorporate some good customer service practices, whether it be following up, whether it be setting reminders. Hey, when I get this client, I know to set a reminder on day one, day five, and day 10 to do XYZ. Now, when you understand your process, now you can properly communicate, hey, your project mm-hmm. is this far in the queue, or I know that this will be done no earlier than 10 days. Now you're giving the customer mm-hmm. the opportunity to say, hey, I need it sooner than that. This may not be the proper, you know, time. I book you at another time. Or they're like, okay,
totally.
I don't need it right now. I need it in a month. So, you know, let's work together. Now we all on accord.
Right.
And that's all we're asking, just to be on one accord together. But I think understanding your capacity and understanding your process will make communication a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Well, let's be candid on something, too. See, we see dollar signs, right?
That's right.
So in essence, you're like, oh, I'm not turning down no business, because that's what happens a lot. You know you don't have the bandwidth. And Z has a good point. It's fine. If you tell me when it's going to be ready and your timeline doesn't work for me, I'm going to thank you, you know, for your, you know, for following up, what have you, but I'm going to have to move forward with somebody else that has a faster turnaround time. But you have to be candid with your customers or potential customers and letting them know that. It's not our fault if you're just getting started. And I tell people all the time, see your business already as a big business, a Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 company, even from the start, because even from day one, with everything that I took in with the TMI group, now currently the TMI group, I had to deliver it because I said I can do it, so I had to deliver it because it wasn't my client fault that I decided that I'm not mastered yet in what I need to do. I don't have a full staff. I had an 800 number. It looked like I had a big business, actually. I had an 800 number, email address, website. I had the whole nine. So if you went on the outside looking in, you'd be like, okay, this is a minority-owned business, but that wasn't the case back then. So guess what? I had to turn down business. Because guess what, now, Z? What you never don't ever want to do is mess up your reputation.
Exactly.
It's hard to come back. It is hard to come back from a messed up reputation. Because, see, once people get that bad taste in their mouth, you know how it is. We've all done it. I'm guilty of it. You'd be like, oh, no, I'm not attending nothing else. She has. Oh, no, I'm not going to work with her no more. Oh, no, I had hired her to do ABC, and she didn't do a good job. I've even had a bad experience with a PR person, you know, where I would never in my life work with her again. But guess what? I didn't bash her. I didn't go leave a Google review or Yelp review, because I said that was your bad experience, Teresa, but what we're not going to do is – so I definitely feel you on that. You don't have to so quick go out and put a negative review because, again, valid point, they may have just got started. They may still be learning. They may don't know all the ropes. I teach folks how to build, how to start and build legalize their businesses, and you will be amazed at how much people don't know when they first get started. So, you know, give them a break. I love honesty. So if someone says, hey, you know, it's just myself or my assistant, you know, it may take a little longer. I love talking to people like that. You know, I throw my 2 cents in. Hey, if you ever need to hire some more folks, this might be what you can do, you know. So don't be so fast to bash, but also you folks that's been in business 4 or 5 years now, we're not giving you no pass. It just ain't going to happen. Because sorry, Z, they ain't going to get no pass because it's trial and error as you go. Not over here, you're not going to get no pass. Miss Z might give you a pass. Miss Teresa's not going to give you a pass.
You have to learn quickly.
quick, fast, and a hurry, because my time is valuable. So 4 or 5 years you've been in business, or you on there on social media and you running a 6-7 figure business, in my mind, you experienced. Now, granted, everybody running a 6-7 figure business didn't necessarily go through all the ropes of the correct process. Let's get that straight. But obviously, you know how to manage money if you run a 6-7 figure business. So my expectations are going to be high of what you deliver if I'm paying you for a service. Now, you beginners,
I want to touch on the price point.
Okay.
So you touched on the price, and I think that, yeah, well, you touched on us as entrepreneurs not wanting to miss money. We all have been there, especially if you're a full-time entrepreneur, mm-hmm. you're a service provider. You have to eat what you kill. If you don't kill, you don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we always want more and more and more. But if, again, it goes back to your capacity, if you don't have the capacity to do that, then there needs to be a balance. That means you might need to change your rate. But if you're going to increase your rate in order to make more by taking on less clients, the quality of your work must match. It must match up.
Mm.
And it makes sense. Think about it. The more clients you have, you end up decreasing your quality because you're trying to produce so much. So quality may be something that is either inconsistent or, you may have inconsistent quality because you're trying to produce so much and you're just trying to get it out. But imagine having fewer clients but still making a great amount of money, and you're able to actually deliver quality. Now you're catapulting yourself into another clientele audience who's willing to pay that because
wow.
they know somebody that knows somebody that has the same pockets they have. So,
hey, you know what? That's a good step right there, Z.
Yeah.
Quality
that's
over quantity.
That's definitely something to consider, especially when it comes to if you know you know that your work is good, you actually know your work could be better if you had less clients. That just means you got to raise your price.
Hey, and then again, like Z said, you raise your price, you definitely have to deliver the quality. So sometimes quality over quantity, to me, I think is better because you're trying to take all these clients so you can make a certain amount of money, right? Opposed to you taking a certain number of clients, it's almost like folks that got those high packaging coaching programs. And their coaching programs are like, those price points are like, oof. So you start paying over $7,000, $8,000 for a coaching program, you looking for some serious results. But I can take 2 clients a month or 2 to 3 clients a month if I have a $10,000 coaching program and I made $30,000, opposed to me trying to take 20 clients a month at a coaching program that I'm charging $497 for. So do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to you have to offer, you have to deliver, though, what you say, because that's what we're looking for. Wow, great stuff, Z. Z, before we wrap up, I want you to let folks know how they can reach you on your social media platforms.
Awesome. Well, you can definitely reach me at Makeup by Z everywhere. So if you're on Instagram, it's Makeup by Z, and I spell Z, Z-I-I, okay, so definitely follow me on Instagram at Makeup by Z. If you're on Facebook, my Facebook page is Makeup by Z. And my website as well is Makeup by Z. And from there, you can find everything that you need to find about me. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Z, I want to thank you today for co-hosting the show with me. I truly appreciate it. You actually gave us a wealth of knowledge, and we appreciate you. Guys, I want to thank you for tuning in. Looks like I'm not sure about our organic listeners, but right now we had over 2,800 folks that have tuned in with us this morning. I appreciate you guys' support for the past 4 years. Again, thank you for tuning in to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. And remember, to change your life, you have to change your priorities, and there is nothing more powerful than a changed mind.
all my life. Been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice.
Thank you guys again for tuning in, and you have a great rest of the week on purpose.